the resolution in next week's sermon bumper video. It just proves why Tyler Ward is the best staff member that we have. Don't miss next week. Bring all your friends. It's going to be good. Now, in the Star Wars films, there's this idea that there are kind of like two paths in life. In all the Star Wars films, there's this path of goodness that you can choose, which they call following the light side of the Force, or there's this path of evil that you can choose, which they talk about as following the dark side of the Force. In the Star Wars films in the 1970s and 1980s, the main character is Luke Skywalker, and Luke Skywalker is trying to free the galaxy from this evil empire that's led by Darth Vader. Now, in the first film in the series, Luke is an orphan, and he has a mentor named Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan tells Luke that Darth Vader killed his father, betrayed him, and murdered him. But then in the second film, it turns out, spoiler alert, Darth Vader is actually Luke's dad. So sorry for ruining that one for you if you haven't seen it yet. But Darth Vader is actually Luke's dad. In the third film, Luke is a little bit peeved, as we probably all would be if your mentor had told you that your dad was dead, but actually your dad was alive and he was the most evil person in the galaxy. So Obi-Wan comes back to talk to Luke in a kind of a spirit form, and then Obi-Wan and Luke have this conversation right here.
You told me Vader betrayed and murdered my father.
Your father was seduced by the dark side of the Force. He ceased to be Anakin Skywalker and became Darth Vader. When that happened, the good man who was your father was destroyed. So what I told you was true, from a certain point of view.
A certain point of view?
Luke, you're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
So what I told you was true, from a certain point of view. And you're going to find that many of the truths that we cling to depend on our point of view. It's a phrase that could really almost summarize our scripture for today. Our scripture for today is one in which the truth changes greatly depending on a person's perspective. This is a scripture about the way we come in to life, our perceptions, our perspective on the world. It really shapes our reality, shapes the way we encounter the world. We'll be reading John chapter 3. Be reading verses 1 through 8. We'll have the New Revised Standard Version on the screen, or you can follow along in your own translation. But John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 says this. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit, that is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So what do we notice in this scripture? I think first and most obviously, Jesus is teaching us that our perspective affects the way that we interpret life. And our interpretation of life really determines the meaning that we find in life. Now, it seems pretty clear to me that Jesus and Nicodemus are talking past each other here. They're just miscommunicating. And part of the reason that they are talking past each other is that they have these different starting assumptions. One of the root causes of their misunderstanding is the Greek word anathen. Jesus says that you have to be born anathen. And in Greek, that word can have three different meanings. It can mean first, kind of from above or from heaven. It can mean second, from the first, from the beginning. Or it can mean third, anew, or all over again. So our three possibilities could be that Jesus is saying you have to be born from heaven, that you have to be born from the beginning, which that doesn't really make a lot of sense here, so you can kind of toss that one out, or that you have to be born again, all over again. Now, Nicodemus is coming at this from a physical perspective. So he hears this and he thinks, well, you must have to be born again, but that doesn't make a lot of sense. How can a person really be born again? The mechanics of that just don't work, Jesus. But Jesus is thinking this from a spiritual perspective. He's bringing the spiritual perspective to the conversation, and it's clear he means it from a spiritual perspective. Maybe he means the first reading. Translations do it different ways. Some people say Jesus tells Nicodemus that you have to be born from heaven. Some translations do go with born again. Jesus is saying you have to be born again, but from a spiritual perspective. Because whatever Jesus does mean, it's clear as the conversation goes on that Jesus is bringing a spiritual perspective here. We're not talking about a new physical birth. Jesus is talking about a spiritual birth that's going to usher people into the world of the Spirit, into spiritual realities. But Nicodemus can't see that at first because his starting assumptions just don't allow it. He's thinking about it in physical terms, and that affects the way that he interprets what Jesus is saying and his interpretation of what he takes from Jesus' words. And that's really true in every aspect of our lives. Our starting assumptions, the perspective that we bring to the world, it really shapes everything about our experience of the world. Right? If you think that the world is a hopeful place, you're going to find hope when you get up every morning. If you think that the world is a harsh and cruel place, that's what you're going to find when you walk into the world. Our perspective on life is like a pair of tinted glasses. They're tinted some color. And so everything that comes into our eyes is that color because our glasses are tinted that color. Our perspective affects everything. So it's really vital that we begin each day with the correct perspective, because if our perspective gets off, then everything else gets thrown off too. There was a clinical psychologist named Charles Garfield. He worked at the University of California in the 1980s, and there was this famous story that he used to tell about a toll worker, a worker in a toll booth, that he met on the Oakland to San Francisco bridge in 1984. The way Garfield tells the story, he was driving across the bridge in 1984, he pulled up to pay his toll, and as he rolled down his window, he realized that there was this music that was blasting from somewhere. And Garfield looked around, it wasn't coming from the cars, he realized it was coming from one of the toll booths, actually the toll booth that he was in line for. So he pulled up, and as he got closer and closer, he could see there was no music coming from other toll booths. Just this one is blasting music, and the worker inside the toll booth is just dancing away. So he pulls up to pay his toll, and he hands the toll worker his money, and he says, "What are you doing?" And the toll worker says, "I'm having a party." He hands him his change back, and Garfield says, "What about all these other people?" And he points to the other toll booths, "You know, what about these guys?" And the guy in the toll booth just keeps dancing, says, "They're not invited." So Garfield said he had a dozen questions for the guy at that moment, but people were backing up, starting to honk, so he just had to go. He had to drive on. But Garfield said it became like his mission to find this guy again. The next time he went over the bridge, he was going to find him. It took several months of trial and error because he has to pick 17 different lanes on this toll booth. But finally, he does actually get the right lane several months later, gets in the line. Music is blasting, guys dancing, same thing again. He pulls up to the window and Garfield asks him again, "What are you doing?" And the toll worker says, "I remember you from last time. I'm still dancing. I'm still having the same party." And Garfield just asked again, "But what about these other people here?" And the way that Garfield tells the story, the worker almost cut him off before he could even finish his question. And the worker in the toll booth pointed to the other toll booths and said, "What do those look like to you?" And Garfield said, "Well, they look like toll booths." The toll worker said, "Well, to me, they look like vertical coffins." He said, 8:30 every morning, 17 people get into these toll booths, and then most of them die for the next 8 hours. Garfield says that the worker actually used like Lazarus language. He said, it's like Lazarus getting out of the tomb. At 4:30, these people come back to life, come back to what they think is their real life. But for the 8 hours that they're in there, they are dead. And so Garfield asked him, why is this different for you? You're having a good time. And the toll worker said, I knew you were going to ask me that. I think I'm going to be a dancer someday. And the way I look at it right now is that my bosses are paying for my training. So Garfield, the line was backing up again. He was ready at that time. He just switched contact information with the guy so that they could have lunch later. And at that lunch, the toll worker told him this, Garfield says. The toll worker said, I don't understand why anybody would think that my job is boring. I have a corner office. I have glass on all sides. I can see the Golden Gate Bridge, San Francisco, the Berkeley Hills. Half of the Western world vacations here, and I just stroll in every day and practice dancing. Now, in that story, as Garfield tells it, there are 17 workers on that bridge. There are 17 people taking tolls, but only one of them has a higher perspective. Only one of them is thinking about this in a different way. Our perspective shapes our interpretation of the world. So it really is vital that we begin each day with the correct perspective on our lives. So what is the perspective that we need to have? How is it that we need to be thinking about our lives? I think Jesus tells us very clearly that our relationship with God gives us a spiritual perspective. And that grounds our life in spiritual realities. Jesus says we need a bigger perspective that roots us in this spiritual world. Jesus makes the point, I think, that the physical world is not bad. Nicodemus isn't a terrible person for thinking about the world in physical terms. It's not that the physical world is bad. We don't have to stop thinking about our physical bodies or the physical world. There's just more to it. In verse 5, Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. You have to be born of the water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. People disagree about what Jesus was trying to say there. There's one set of people who thinks that Jesus is talking about baptism. You have to be born by the power of God's Spirit, and then you have to be baptized, and that's what will grant you entrance to the kingdom of heaven. But there's another school of thought, and this seems more plausible to me, that Jesus is saying that you have to be born in the water of a womb. You just have to be born physically, and then be born of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of heaven. That to me makes a lot more sense because that's what Nicodemus is asking about. Jesus just says, okay, let's go back to square one. Yes, you do have to be born, right? That's true. The people who are in heaven are the people who are born. So you will be born physically. But then you also have to be born by the power of God's Spirit. And that seems to make a lot of sense with what Jesus says in verse 6, immediately after that. He says, what's born of the flesh is flesh, and what's born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus is saying, the world around us, our bodies, right, it's not bad. We're all born of the flesh here. That's where we are. That is our current reality. But there is another world out there. This physical world is just partial. There's this other world that we have to take into account, and that world is the spiritual world. This passage closes with Jesus pointing out just how mysterious, but just how real this spiritual world is. He says in the last verses, talks about how the wind blows where it wants to blow. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. And everyone who is born of the Spirit is a little bit like that. Now there's some wordplay going on in this verse here too, because the word for wind and the word for spirit in Greek are the same. It's the word pneuma. If you have an engineering bent, we get our word pneumatics from it. Something that's driven by air comes from this word. So if you're reading in Greek, you just have to decide, based on the context, are we talking about wind that blows, or are we talking about the Spirit that also blows through our lives? So Jesus is, I think, pulling on that wordplay to talk about how you can't see the wind, but you can feel the wind. You can see the effects of the wind. Even when you can't quite nail the wind down, you know it's there. And Jesus says in that same way, we cannot always explain the ways that God's Spirit works. We can't always nail it down in rational terms and make complete sense out of everything. But we can feel its effects. We can believe it's there. And in some mysterious way, people are born of the Spirit like that. That spiritual reality is still there. The worship emphasis that we're in this month is all about a fresh start. We're talking about how we can really experience that lasting change in our lives. You know, how can we drop the New Year's resolutions and really find a fresh and lasting start? And this scripture, I think, is really vital because it reminds us that developing the ability to see the spiritual realities that underlie our lives, that's what can lead to real and lasting life change. Again, it's not that the physical world is bad. The physical world is not bad at all. But if you go through your life this week and you only pay attention to the physical world, then you are living half of a life. There's a whole nother world out there. And if you go through your life this week only paying attention to what you can taste or touch or smell, then you are missing out. You're never going to experience that real and lasting life transformation. Learning to see the spiritual truths that lie behind everything that we do, that can be powerfully, powerfully transformative for our lives. Right, let's take an example. Sometime this week, you're probably going to be in your car driving down the road. You'll stop at a red light, and standing there in the median at some point this week is likely to be somebody with a cardboard sign asking for your help. Now, the story on the sign may be different. Person may say they're a veteran, may say they're homeless, may say they're looking for work. They may be asking for help for their children, but at some point this week, you're probably going to be in that situation. You and your car stopped at a red light, somebody there on the median with the sign. Now, what are you going to be thinking about in that moment? If you're like most of us, my initial thought at least is, how can I have a conversation with the person in the passenger seat? How can I check my phone or something? How can I avoid eye contact with the person standing in the median? Because this is just awkward. I want the light to turn green. I want to be able to go. Does that sound about right, what you might be thinking? If you're thinking on a little bit deeper level, you might be doing some rational, ethical calculations about, well, if I gave the person money, then maybe this would happen. Or if I didn't give them money, maybe that would happen. I do have a half of a cheese sandwich here. If I gave them that, would that be better? And you're kind of trying to game out those different scenarios to make the best choice that you can. And none of that is wrong. All right, hear me say that really clearly. It's not wrong that that moment feels awkward. And it's definitely a good thing to want to make smart, ethical decisions. That's a good thing. But if that's the level that our thoughts stay on, then we have missed the most important aspects of this encounter. That moment of you in your car, guy standing there with a cardboard sign, that moment is just dripping with spiritual reality. That moment is a concrete example of what the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, when God creates humanity, and he says that everyone he has created bears his image. Everyone, male, female, who has ever lived is created with something of God's character, something of God's likeness. In that moment, you in the car, guy on the median, you guys are interchangeable in God's sight. It's six of one, half a dozen of the other to God. If it's you in the car and him on the median, or you on the median asking for help and him in the car, doesn't matter to God at all, because you both bear the image of God. Now, to think about it from that perspective, that changes the moment a little bit, doesn't it? That moment is also a manifestation of what Jesus talked about in the Gospel of Matthew, how there will come some moment at the end of the world when we will all give account of our deeds, and Jesus will tell the people who lived rightly, who lived well and righteously, that every time they gave someone something to eat or something to drink, they really did it to him. This moment is also an example of that. And to think about this moment with that scripture in mind, that spiritual reality in mind, that changes the moment. Now again, it's not wrong to think of that moment as just an awkward moment. It's not wrong to notice the awkwardness or to want to deal with it, but if that's the only thing it is, if it's just an awkward moment, then we've missed the most important aspect. We've missed the spiritual aspect. And that's just one moment in our week, right? Every moment that we find ourselves in, we can see in that way. We can see the spiritual realities that lie behind it. So the bad news is that it is very easy to miss the spiritual perspective. People bump along through life all the time, never thinking about it. But the good news is that you don't have to. The good news is that if you are willing to turn your life over to Christ, if you're willing to see things the way God sees them, to give up on living your way and to start living God's way, then you can be born into a whole new spiritual world that is ready to open up before you. If that's something that you would like to do today, I'll be at one of the tables in the back while we sing our final song. I'd love to talk to you or pray with you about that. And the good news is that if you have already made that choice, if you've already chosen to pattern your life on the life of Christ, if you have put your hope in his birth and his death and his resurrection, then right now you are just as much a spiritual creature as you are a physical creature. Every day, that spiritual world with its spiritual realities is open to you. Every day, God is moving and working around you. Every day, God is hoping that you will see the world as God sees it. Every day, there is more going on than you can see or taste or hear or touch. Every day, God's world intersects with your world. Cultivating that spiritual perspective to be able to see the world that way, that can change how we live. You might want to do it this week by spending a little bit more time reading your Bible. In the scriptures, we learn how God sees the world, and we can learn to pattern our perspective on God's. You might want to do it this week by maybe when you're praying, spend a little less time talking and a little more time listening so that you can maybe hear how God sees your life, how God sees your problems. Rather than telling God how you see them, listen a little bit. See what God has to say. You might want to do it this week in your life group. In our life groups, we're going to be spending some time hearing from other people about how they've been able to successfully cultivate a spiritual perspective. So maybe you might want to take some notes about what has worked for other people, how other people have learned to see things on a deeper level, to see the spiritual realities that lie behind everything. But however you do it, the question is really, can you shift your perspective this week to see the world through more of a spiritual lens? Can you learn to see the world as God sees it? Because when we do, when we make that shift to seeing from a spiritual perspective, that can change how we live, opens up whole new possibilities and whole new ways of existing in this world that God has created.